So I can speak to the project that I've been leading. This is one of the biggest challenges that we have. And I think that globally, it is one of the largest challenges for us as nutrition programmers, because we depend on these frontline community workers to deliver nutrition services. I believe, you know, Razmi was talking about this as well. So what we found immediately was that, you know, even in these, so community health workers are typically, and they're community nutrition workers, they are recruited from their local communities based on certain criteria, right? So they're well known to the community and they live in those communities. However, people automatically locked their front doors and they didn't even want to interact with their well-known community workers. So women were scared to open their front doors. And as I said, the household gatekeepers, husbands, mothers-in-laws, refused to open the front doors. So community workers were immediately stopped from delivering very important maternal nutrition counseling, infant and young child feeding counseling, and referrals for health services in the case of, you know, acute malnutrition. So our kind of first line nutrition interventions went away pretty dramatically. So we had a little bit of a head start. One of the pillars of our project was testing digital technology. So from the beginning, we had set up with some of our participants, we did all of our social and behavior change communication via mobile phones through a private sector company in Bangladesh that delivers typically health messages. And we just adapted their existing platform to deliver more nutrition focused messages so we could continue delivering those messages to mothers. So that was one thing that we are doing. But as I said in the presentation, this is kind of in addition to the typical one-on-one interaction, which is so important for changing behaviors. So our idea was, all right, we're really dependent on these frontline workers, and we recognize challenges even in terms of human resources of these types of programs when we think about sustainability. So let us, as implementation research, try something a bit different. Let's scale back on the human interaction and supplement that with digital interactions. And so that is one thing I think that has worked well and allowed us to be able to continue some of these services. So that's a recommendation that I would certainly have for community workers going forward. If in your nutrition programming, you can build in a technology component, it's been extremely helpful. And we're documenting at every step, what are the challenges? Well, what are the successes? What have we learned? And we'll be sharing that once this is all over for the global community as well. The other thing I think I would recommend for these community health workers is building into this communication, we need to be combating misinformation and sharing correct COVID or pandemic related information. So if the families are comfortable, a community health worker come outside their home, staying 2 meters away, but being able to speak with them and deliver important messages, and the family was comfortable based on accurate information they received, they were safe. They remained safe, but also could get that service that they needed. That would be incredibly useful for continuity of services. So I think when you're thinking about, you know, SBCC delivery in this type of atmosphere, you want to make sure that you build in correct pandemic or whatever the crisis is information. And speaking to, you know, finally speaking to readiness to quickly adapt. If the government had, let's say, a stockpile of personal protective equipment for our community workers, we could have sent them out. But we immediately had shortages. And so they couldn't even get 2 meters with the recommended face mask from the households. So we need to make sure that governments are prepared in the future to have these things in their possession to respond immediately.